welcome to the 18th podcast for North Fulton Drama Club. This is our fourth cast podcast, the last cast podcast for A Midsummer Night's Dream. In this podcast, we'll hear from Stephen Banks, Larry Jr., Sarah Papp, and John Zip Rampey. So I guess we start off with usual, what's your name?
Oh, my name is Stephen Banks.
And what role are you playing?
I am playing the worst actor in the history of English theater, which is Flute, the bellows mender.
And Flute also plays another role.
Flute, as the actor, plays Thisbe, the beautiful lady whom Pyramus loves.
Yes. This is your second show with us.
It is my second show with you.
This role is decidedly different from your first role with us.
Yes, I played Leonardo, and when I came to audition for Much Ado, I specifically asked for the non-funny role, because I'm always cast in comedies, and I wanted to do the serious role. And so, as punishment, you cast me in the silliest role in the show.
I don't know about punishment, sir.
Well, contrast then.
Because when you first auditioned for Much Ado, we didn't know you.
Yes. And
so you auditioned, we're like, oh, he's a perfect Leonardo. He's so paternal. Oh, look at him go. Oh, so sensible. And then between, we see you in a British farce, which was fantastic. And then we see you in Double Drag.
That was a great show, yeah.
Yeah, Yula May. Which show was that?
Yula May's Beauty, Bait, and Tackle, where I played actual women instead of a guy playing a woman, which is way different. I had to learn a feminine voice and walk in heels and stockings, and it was just totally different.
You had to learn two feminine voices.
Two different women, yes. An alcoholic ex-beauty pageant queen and an old lady, an old southern lady.
Now, did you have most of either one of the costumes on underneath the other costume most of the time?
No. I ran backstage and stripped down to just pantyhose and ripped the other one on. And wonderful and very gay stage manager helped me with every change.
I was wondering if you had taken advantage of the fact that that Mama had a duster on most of the time.
No, it really didn't work, because the necklines were different and the jewelry and everything. So
that's true. Well, it was fantastic. So this
did nothing to prepare me for playing.
Even though Flute in drag.
Thisbe is Flute in drag, but Flute isn't really interested in being in drag.
No.
And so, although Quince tells him that he can speak in a high voice and wear a mask, he doesn't bother with that. Flute talks like this, and Thisbe talks like this. So
he's kind of a naturalist actor,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, he just kind of comes out, and, you know, he's in drag from the waist down, but from the waist up, really.
It's kind of a Stanislavski thing he's doing there with the realism.
Yeah.
Well, it's brilliant. And you're also a part of the Tinker subgroup.
Oh, yeah. There's a whole Tinker community, which is really cool. We built our own little town. We call it Tinker Town. We have a theme song, Tinker Town. Won't you take me to Tinker Town? And we annoy all of the other actors. We kick them out of our area if they get in the way.
Especially which ones?
Oh, well, the lovers. You see, the lovers live in the next town over. And they tried to have theme songs, but we kind of blew them away. we're thinking of cutting an entire CD of Tinker songs.
I'm sure it would sell very well, at least amongst the people in this cast.
I don't think anyone else would get it.
Well, we really appreciate you being in this cast. Romeo and Juliet's coming up. And then, you know, the Scottish tragedy next year.
I was thinking of auditioning for Juliet.
It would.
But I'm afraid of getting typecast, and I really don't want to shave my legs again.
Thisbe does not shave her legs.
So what is thank you, Steve. What is your name?
My name is Larry Jr.
And what role do you have in our production?
I play Oberon, the Fairy King.
So what is Oberon?
Oberon is basically the master of the universe. As ruler of the fairies, he has free reign to do whatever his imagination brings to mind.
Titania might have something to say about that.
She always has something to say about that.
Titania does. So have you done Shakespeare before?
Yes, I have.
What have you done before?
My first Shakespeare was Antony and Cleopatra at the Atlantic Theater Conservatory which I sucked. I could not get my lips and tongue around the Lithobean. I still can't get it around. Thank you. The vernacular. And then I had to also learn how to breathe in the censures and iambic pentameter. So that was my first introduction into Shakespeare. And then after that, I was in Much Ado About Nothing. Played Benedict. Sucked in that.
Oh, no.
So sucked. had a fantastic director, Stephen Wiska. After that production, I did a showcase where I had an opportunity to play Othello. And I did Othello pretty good, but it was my third time doing Shakespeare, and I was more comfortable with the words and with the language, and I understood what I was supposed to do, and so that was fantastic. So this is officially my fourth Shakespeare outing.
So have you learned anything from this production that you didn't know already?
Oh yeah, I learned many things from this production. I learned how important it is to be familiar with your character. A lot of times on stage, I have an opportunity to act without speaking. And so the research and the homework that I've done on Oberon allows me to do a lot of different things. I have fun not only with my castmates on stage, but I have a lot of fun with the audience. So one of my favorite things to do with the audience is become invisible, which they seem to like very much.
And your makeup artist is sexy.
And my makeup artist is sexy.
And what do you think about your shoes?
Shoes are kick-ass. There's no other way to describe them. They are platform shoes.
Have you gone into the custom room entirely now?
I have. And the biggest difference for me performing on grass outside, performing on the stage, is I'm more comfortable with the stage so I can do things with them. For instance, when I put the lovers to sleep and I reunite with my beautiful queen, Titania, I get to dance a little bit in the shoes that I couldn't do outside. So I had a lot of fun in the shoes. Plus, I also do a spin moves in the coming on stage and a couple of entrances that I can do on a stage that I couldn't do on the ground. Don't know if you caught that yesterday.
I saw that.
Did you see
that? That was awesome. So you have less chance of turning your ankle.
Exactly. Exactly. It's mostly in the platform shoes. I spend a lot of time on my toes and on the balls of my feet.
So do you have any words of wisdom to leave our podcast listeners with?
I think that Shakespeare is the greatest writer of all times, and his work endures because he tells real life stories about real life people and real life situations. This coming from a fairy king, of
course. Yeah, a fairy king.
But I mean, there's a little bit of fairy in all of us, a little bit of imagination, a little bit of dreaming, a little bit of it's my world and you're just a squirrel trying to get a nut. In this particular production, I think it's important that you have a dream, you pursue your dream no matter what. And at the end of the day, I think you can deal with whatever the results are if you do that. So happy to be part of the NFDC family. I look forward to our future endeavors together.
Thank you, ma'am.
How are you?
My name is Sarah.
And what role are you playing?
I play Titania, Fairy Queen, and Master of Oberon.
Oh, baby.
So have you had any prior experience that has prepared you to be the Fairy Queen?
Well, actually, my friends do come and say, you're not really acting, are you? So, you mean Shakespeare?
Or anything?
Just acting. Acting at Dorset Studios.
That's true. That's so have you done Shakespeare before?
I've done a Shakespeare monologue. This is my first play. Actually, this is my first play. This is my first Shakespeare play.
Cool. So these questions are going to sound familiar. So have you learned anything interesting from your, how many months have we all spent together? Like
four
months?
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. Anything you can share?
Yeah, well, I mean, it's interesting to act with so many people from different backgrounds, for sure. And I mean, that's just how it is. And that's, mm-hmm. So it's been really nice to figure out how I can do my thing while other people are doing their things. It's been a very, very good learning experience.
You spend a lot of time with Oberon. You spend a lot of time with Bottom Tree by Zip. So, I don't want to ask you which one is your favorite male show star, but what do you talk about with Zip when you were stuck behind the Bower for like an hour or so?
No. Zip and I get along great, and we talk. We joke a lot, and we talk about, Zip can quote movies like Nobody's Business, and we talk about the lovers a lot, actually, because the lovers are going on. We always want to see the lovers just break out in a mad fist fight. Hasn't happened quite yet.
Yeah,
maybe it could happen today.
So
it's pretty funny. We talk about life, something I know.
Cool. Yeah. Well, do you have any words of wisdom to pass on to future players of your role or of any role?
Glitter's not really that bad.
It's hard to get off.
It's hard to get off. It's not so bad.
It sticks with you.
It sticks with you.
My name,
your name,
is Zip Rampy.
And why are you here?
I'm here because you told me to be here.
You auditioned.
I auditioned for a play called Midsummer Night's Dream. Maybe you've heard of it.
Oh, I have. And what part did you play?
I was cast in the role of Nick Bottom the Weaver.
Excellent.
Yes.
This is not the first play that you have done with us.
It is not. The first play that I was in for North Fulton Drama Club was about this time, spring last year, spring. Much Ado About Nothing.
Yes.
In which I played the prince.
Yes.
Which was much fun. Is this show.
Different roles.
Very different roles. The prince, prince was very, for lack of a better term, princely.
Yes.
He was the head of state. He was, he had to be very well-spoken, well-mannered. And Bottom is none of those things. Bottom is loud and obnoxious and just constantly trying to be the better man, I guess you could say.
Yeah, the prince was also quite a bit more serious. Bottom doesn't get that serious.
No, Bottom gets no seriousness at all, really. I guess there are some moments that where you think Bottom is having a moment of clarity and he's realizing what is perhaps the error of his ways, and then he completely stomps on it and runs off in the other direction and takes it completely the wrong way and uses it to his advantage.
You seem to have been enjoying this role quite a bit.
I have enjoyed it very much because it lends itself to allowing the actor to just open up and let it all out. I guess depending on how you interpret the character will have a lot to do with how it's performed, but the way I see it is that this guy not only wants to be, but already thinks he is God's gift to acting. Even though he is not a trained actor, he's a weaver.
Yes.
He's just your ordinary guy that has a regular everyday job according to the time that it was written. And but here he is. He's been invited to perform in this show before the Duke of the Land.
Yes.
And he thinks that, I'm just going to knock this one out of the park. I'm the greatest actor. I can do anything. You just tell me to do it, and I can do it. He can't. Not very well. He tries. He tries his hardest. But he's not really the best actor. And so, as an actor myself, that's the way I looked at it is, this is a chance to just be as over the top as you've always wanted to be, but
right.
No, you shouldn't.
Do you think you could have taken it further, or do you think you're playing bottom as broad as you possibly can?
I'm playing bottom as broad as I think he needs to be, because you still want to leave room for the other actors on stage to be in the scene with you.
Yeah.
And I know this is something that Steve, who plays flute...
Yes.
Who has to play opposite me in the scene, within the scene, at the end of the play...
Yes.
As he said, you know, he always said, I'm going to have to come up with some way to try to one-up you. I can't let you take the stage all to yourself. I have to, you know, I have to be able to at least match you. And I said, well, no, that's right. We really worked together to find that balance of, okay, now I'm going to have my moment to really lay it out there. And then Steve has to have hit the ability to come out there and match it. We don't want to try to outdo each other. We want to be at the same level. So that way the comedy is consistent.
No Thisbe do I see? Oh, wicked wall, through whom I see no bliss. Cursed be thy stones for thus deceiving me.
The wall, methinks, being sensible, should curse again.
No, in truth, sir, she should not. Deceiving me is Thisbe's cue. She is to enter now, and I am to spy her through the wall. You shall see it fall pat as I told you. Yonder she comes.
Oh, wall! Full often hast thou heard my moans, departing my fair Pyramus and me. My cherry lips have often kissed thy stones. Thy stones with lime and pear knit up in thee.
I see a voice. Now will I to thee, king, to spy, and I might hear my Thisbe's face. Thisbe!
My love? Thou art my love, I think.
Think what thou wilt, I am thy lover's grace, and like Lymander am I trusty still.
And I, like Helen, till the fates me kill.
Not Schaffelus to Procris was so true.
As Schaffelus to Procris, so I to you.
Kiss me through the hole of this vile wall.
I kiss the walls whole and not your lips at all.
Wilt thou at Ninny's tomb meet me straight away?
For us, it was very important. We realized that in this show, in Midsummer Night's Dream, we're not just the secondary plot.
Right.
The Tinkers are almost their own show. It's almost their own play in and of itself. And so we knew that the dynamics between all of six of the people in our group had to be consistent. We had to be able not only to play off of, like Steve and I had to play off of each other, but all six of us had to blend well together. And there was something, there was just something about the six people we had in this production.
Yeah.
I think it's that we're all experienced actors. We've been in many shows with many different groups. And we sort of share that common bond of, look, we all know what we're here for. You know, we're all doing this for the same reasons. And that just sort of worked for us. So when we developed our characters and came out on stage, it just flowed.
Yeah.
It flowed very well, and it worked the same backstage as well. But we had so much time together backstage, because when the Tinkers are on stage, we're the only ones on stage, except for the very end. But when the Tinkers are off stage, everyone else in the show is on stage.
Right.
Which is why we felt so separate. I'm not saying we didn't get along with the rest of the cast. We just felt like we were our own group or entity over here to the side. So that's just sort of how it ended up.
You had to get along with at least one of the members of the cast.
I did. I did have to get along with one of them because she was my carpool mate.
That's very true.
Yes. That was my friend Sherry, whom I had done many shows with up in my hometown of Calhoun.
Yes.
We had done many shows together there, and she was interested in coming to do a little Shakespeare with us. So I talked her into coming down and doing this show with us.
We were so pleased to have her.
Yes.
She was phenomenal.
Very good.
So,
very good.
I don't know if I asked you if if it was different. I don't think I asked you during Much Ado. I haven't asked you. Have you found Shakespeare decidedly more difficult to do than other plays?
I don't think it's been more difficult. The only area where I think the difficulty really comes into play is understanding the language.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, yes, the words, most of the words are the same, but maybe not in the same order or used in the same way that we use them in our English nowadays.
Right.
But as long as you understand the meaning of what the character is supposed to be saying, then that makes it easier to say the lines.
Right.
To me. And then once you get that, then it's just a matter of memorizing them and then performing it. Because, I mean, any modern play, and by modern I mean anything since the 50s, has the same themes, the same storylines or plot lines. Everything is the same. It's all there. A lot of stuff today, except for specific things that have come into play as our society progresses. I hate Bush. political commentary over. Except for those specific things that we know that today that they didn't back then, it's all the same. A lot of it is still very relevant today. And so as long as you understand that meaning of what Shakespeare was saying, then it's really no more difficult than doing, Beckett actually is harder to me.
Yeah.
Because that one you really have to dig for a meaning.
Shakespeare is
and sometimes there may not be one.
Romance and mistaken identity and pratfalls.
Well, especially in the comedies.
Yeah.
Yeah, in the comedies there can be, political subtext.
Oh, sure.
But that was all relevant to that time, not necessarily to ours. So if you want to play that, you can, but you don't have to.
Well, we're glad that you were in the show very, very much. And we're glad you're in the restaging of the show, too.
Yes! How could I not continue doing this part?
How could you not continue doing the role that you have created?
Sometimes it's hard to let go of a role, and this is one that you get so into it, it's kind of hard to shake it off.
You got bonus time on this one.
Got bonus time.
Got a couple of one-ups.
Yep. Get to do it again. Get to do it in a different setting.
Yes.
For different people.
For different people.
And that I like.
For the good people of Lawrenceville.
That will be, yes.
Yes.
That will be the challenge. That's what I like.
Do you have any words of wisdom or observations of things that you have learned over the course of this rehearsal and performance that you didn't know before?
No, because I'm freaking awesome.
Okay. More of that
confirmation. See, I told you. I can't get rid of the character. It's there. It's in my bones.
Awesomeness.
I can't let
colon
go.
Confirmed.
This production has only confirmed what I learned during Much Ado, which is Shakespeare is nothing to be afraid of. Shakespeare can be wonderful. Shakespeare can be extremely entertaining, and just if you are a performer and you're scared to try it, forget it. Go do it. It's a lot of fun.
Thank you, sir.
You're welcome.
We hope you've enjoyed this look behind the scenes at what we do at North Fulton Drama Club. For more information about North Fulton Drama Club, including auditions, performances, and simply how to get in touch with us, look us up on the web, www.northfultondramaclub.org. Thanks for listening.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.